The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the home of Cape Championship Wrestling. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's November 16, 2016, and you're listening to PWU, the hottest wrestling podcast, centralized entirely in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. That's a true statement, right?
Yeah.
Finally, some truth in media.
It would be so funny if there was just an underground like wrestling podcast league, and just like, oh, are we really the
underground wrestling podcast league?
It turns out Meltzer actually records from
Cape Girardeau?
Yeah.
Like right on the outskirts of Cape County. Like, well,
Here. He's just at the, whatever the name of that, the indie building.
Oh,
with
yeah.
all the studios and stuff.
Indie building.
Somewhere on Broadway. It's for art students.
Let's move on. No one knows what we're talking about at this point.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, it's Pro Wrestling Unscripted. My name is Shannon Young. I'm your host. I want to give an apology for last night. We didn't do Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man because of my deteriorating health and that I'm on my deathbed. So we skipped it. I feel better today. Thank God we're here tonight because Asa, the Five Star Man, is now not feeling well.
It's more like the 1.5 Star Man.
So we've swapped.
Yes.
We've swapped, which is a shame because I wanted to talk last night. I wanted to give a shout out to Villainous Grounds because right now you can get the...
The Five Star Caramel Chai.
Yes.
I wasn't expecting it. You threw it to me.
I keep you on your toes. That's the drink of the week over Villainous Grounds, named after the Five Star Man.
I'm so excited. I made a big thing on Facebook about it because like I knew it was coming and like I'd even talked to him about what it was going to be, but it's still like...
Isn't that feeling
I saw
of
it on Facebook
it? Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is a real thing. Like,
this is a thing named after
these
me.
People that, like, not even that, just like everything that they do is wonderful and magical. And then for them to just like what we do too.
Yeah.
Is just awesome.
That's David and Mary Jo over at Villainous Grounds. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they have bodies in the basement at this point.
They're like The Rock at this point. Like there is some.
Oh, The Rock? You mean the sexiest man alive?
Oh. I forgot to write that down on the news thing.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I'm glad we mentioned it then. Rock named Sexiest Man Alive. But before we talk about tonight's news, speaking of sexy, I'm going to give a shout out to Sexy Sarge O'Reilly. It's his birthday.
It is.
Happy birthday, Sexy Sarge. It's especially important to me, and I think Asa too, because I think you're like me, maybe, that Sarge was the first CCW wrestler that you really connected to.
It was actually Billy.
Oh, Billy Hills? Farmer Billy Hills?
Because I remember you being super stoked for me to see Sexy Sarge because of how much you loved him from the first show.
Yes.
When it was only you, Tanner, and Allie. But the first thing that we see, aside from Hunter coming out as the GM, is Billy walking out with the print that Osby did from Osby's painting, just screaming, buy my merch.
Buy my merch. That was fantastic.
And that just immediately was just like, okay, there's something about this guy. But yeah, no, Sarge was...
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Sarge hasn't been there at the last two or just the last one? Just the last one. We hope he's back at the next one, which also, while we're on the topic, let's just go ahead and say CCW is returning to Chaffee on November 26th.
Delta?
At the Delta. What's the Delta?
It's the Delta Center. Community Center.
In Chaffee.
No, it's in
Delta. No, it's
also,
in
it's
Delta,
someplace?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's see, in it's the actual Delta. It's actually the city of Delta has a community center.
See, I looked up the Delta Center and it said Chaffee and I got confused. Okay. So it is in Delta.
Yeah.
Tickets are still on sale right now. You can go to Cape Championship Wrestling. Is it .com?
I don't know. I think it's just CapeWrestling.com.
I think it's just Cape Wrestling.
Go on Facebook.
Yeah,
look up Cape Championship Wrestling.
Do their
get
Facebook
on there.
Because that actually has the link to the page where you can buy the tickets.
And we don't want to give you bad info, but they're going to have their next show November 26th, and it's a stacked card already. You're going to have Hollis taking on Brandon Barbwire in the main event for the title. Austin Lane versus Billy Hills in a number one contenders match. I'm very happy that Austin's still there because we're going to have the signs that say Austin's Lane, which Asa came up with, by the way.
You said this? I said this.
There's going to be Sweet Sarah versus a little bit. Mm-hmm. So Mardi Gras is apparently gone for now. And the usual gang will be there, hopefully. Hopefully we'll see CJ Stein or Brandon Espinoza. Those are the only three matches I know off the top of my head.
And then they're doing the main event is going to be the Survivor Series style tag of the Pinnacle versus Team CCW.
Oh, so they are doing that?
Yeah.
I thought that was just
rumor. Because I was talking to Jason yesterday when he came into the store.
Wells.
Yes.
Head honcho of CCW.
And he was kind of talking about they're kind of ending out the year on a little bit of a smaller show. And when we say buy tickets, they're going quick. From what he's saying,
first and second
row
are gone.
Almost, they're coming up on.
And they just went on sale on Monday.
Yeah.
So this show was hot.
Yeah. So, but it's a smaller venue. It's a, and it's kind of a more intimate show because a lot of this is just strictly guys that have been at every CCW show. So it's like that strict homegrown. It's a little bit of a smaller card.
Yeah.
But it's, I'm super stoked for it. Just to be able, for all the guys that, you know, are always here to really be able
like
to.
Like Hollis.
Yeah.
Like I'm super stoked that Hollis is in the main event against Brandon because I love Brandon and I love Hollis. Can we say that now?
Ooh. Sure. Might as well.
I love Brandon. I love Hollis. Everyone on this card so far that I've seen looks amazing.
Yeah.
Now, Pinnacle has a secret member, right?
Yes. It's not Blaster, apparently.
Damn it!
I know. That's what everyone was. It was the Gunslinger coming back.
God! I don't want to talk about it anymore. So, we're going to give a bigger preview next week on PWU, so yeah. Stay tuned for that.
Yes, and just in case if you want to go buy tickets, it's at capewrestling.com. That is capewrestling.com.
And get those tickets fast because they are moving out the door very quickly. Those voices you hear, by the way, I'm not going to forget. My usual, the usual gang here. I hate saying that I host the show on PWU because I really feel that it is a group effort. I will take the credit for maybe the Thursday show and maybe Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man, even though that's really a duo. But I really feel like on Wednesdays with PWU, it's not me hosting. It's just the Pro Wrestling Unscripted gang. And that gang is as follows. Myself, Shannon Young, the Five Star Man, Asa Gray.
All five.
Dalton Anthony, the Big D. And, A-Bomb, Ali Aber.
Hi.
They're never going to
give me a A-Bomb.
Because of how it was given to her, I think.
They're never going to give me a drink at Villainous Grounds with a nickname like the Big D.
Oh, we've already decided you're the Salty Dalty and it's going to be Salted Caramel.
I mean, the Salty Dalty sounds pretty good. Although the Big D also sounds pretty good.
No one wants to order that.
No one wants the Big D.
Right. We should have been like, can you track orders of like, we need to see who wins on the drink competition.
I feel like I would win only because mine was first.
Yours was really good. Although Ace's was really good too.
But mine was such a basic one. Like, there was nothing fancy about it. Like, Jesse had pumpkin. Mm-hmm. Not everyone likes pumpkin, myself included. Yeah. I tried it and it was good, but I don't like pumpkin. So I couldn't drink it all. Whereas the Mr. 100 was just chocolate. Everybody likes chocolate. You know who doesn't like chocolate? The Republican Party. But that's
get it.
Okay, Joey.
A bad joke.
That's why I like mine. That's usually what I get is the chai latte anyway. Just with caramel, so it's going to be sweet.
I told Tanner when he gets his drink, it better be a giant tea. The big tea. Anyway, let's start off with, we might as well start off with Joey, since you mentioned it there, Mr. Anthony. Joey Styles is no longer associated with wrestling.
With Evolve Wrestling.
I mean, it
anyway.
Might as well be that. So, Ace, explain to the folks out what happened, because I know the basics of it, which is that Joey made a very inappropriate joke at an Evolve show.
Joey started to make...
And we said Joey Styles, in case I didn't say that.
Joey Styles made a... off-colored reference to the Trump quote of grabbing a woman by her
genitals.
Right.
I cleaned that up.
And so he, I don't know, I don't think it was at the very beginning of the card, but it was like fairly early on in the show, I think, when he made this. And apparently Gabe Sapolsky just lost his mind. It was then later announced that Joey Styles was fired from Evolve for that exact incident. A lot of people initially were very much defending Joey Styles. Because like, oh man, he just made one off-color thing, like at a show that they do try to keep PG, you know, but that still seems so unnecessary until Gabe Sapolsky himself took to Twitter and said he gave every single member of the talent and the broadcast crew that there would be no political references or jokes involved with the show. And Evolve is meant to be a family-friendly, fun environment, and they're not going to get mired down in all of the nastiness that has been going on in the last, you know, few months.
So do you agree with them getting rid of Joey Styles for this?
100%. If your boss tells you, hey, do not do this one specific thing, and you do that one specific thing anyway, yeah, sorry.
So you agree that Brandon Espinosa should no longer be allowed in CCW?
If he was blatantly told, hey, do not do this thing, and he did it,
and the reason I brought that
I'm not saying that he shouldn't be in CCW, but if he was told not to come back, then I would miss him a lot, but I would understand it.
I didn't say that to trip you up. I saw the look on your face, almost like you knew I was going to go there.
Why would I think that?
Because I do that. I trip people up, but I didn't say it to trip you up. I just think from what Joey Styles said was that in the heat of the moment, he got lost in what he was saying, and he made a stupid reference, and he regretted it. And I believe that to an extent that people make mistakes and they say things that then go, I wish I hadn't said that because I've done it. I know everyone has.
Oh, yeah, I do too. I mean, I'm not saying that he doesn't get a pass for making a mistake, but when your employer flat out says, okay,
but
this
do you think
is
it's
completely
too much?
Off limits.
Is it too much? Is getting rid of him completely too much?
No.
No.
Like, do you don't think a slap on the wrist, an apology, anything like that? You think Because you said that the wrestlers have been coming, you know, at first they were coming to the defense of Joey Styles. And I read what Don Marie said. I read what Mickie James said. And Mickie James said it very eloquently and very,
it was a well thought out post.
Yeah. Mickie James was Don Marie's, what we would call trash birdie.
Mm-hmm. Don Marie's was much less eloquent and it was just flat out F.U. Mike Quackenbush. It's Mike Quackenbush, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. F.U. Mike Quackenbush, F.U. Sapolsky. And she just said, this is a business that has made its money off of exploiting women, of exploiting violence. And for you to fire him over this is ridiculous. And I kind of agree with that. But at the end of the day, it comes down to exactly what you said. If you are told not to do something and then you do it, there has to be repercussions. But yeah. I think firing him might be a little too far. I feel like an apology would be in order and he should definitely, I don't know, just firing seems for your first offense. On something, I always feel like a firing as a first offense is always just maybe a mistake.
Well, you're also not, I mean, I don't know if you're thinking about this in your justification of it, but WWE has their hand in the ball a little bit. Like, that's their feeder system before NXT. And you know that Triple H has been at those shows and he has looked at guys there. Evolve's where they were having the qualify matches for the CWC.
Right.
Yeah. So when you have affiliations with WWE, and somebody makes a comment about the – well, not he didn't make a Trump comment, but he made a reference that involved Trump. And you know the kind of, like, relationship with the McMahons and Trump. It's not a smart move. And I'm not –
especially after you've already been fired by WWE.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're going into full conspiracy mode there, and I like it.
Well, it's not even conspiracy mode. I'm literally just making connections in my brain.
Yeah, no, it's conspiracy. Because if you're starting to think, well, maybe part of the reason he got fired for saying this about Trump because Trump is a Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. because Trump is now president.
I didn't even think of the Hall of Famer thing, but what I'm saying is like if-
Because Vince and Trump are buddies.
Buddies, yeah.
To the point that Donald Trump was looking at Linda McMahon for a position in his cabinet, which, I mean, that's another show for another time, but it just shows that unity between the McMahons and the Trumps is so strong.
And it's one of those things where it's just like, all right, so, and I'm not even going to give Styles the benefit of the doubt. This is one of the greatest wrestling commentators of all time.
He is, but he's not above, no one is above, you know.
Making a mistake.
Yeah.
But he is above thinking that being that stupid and with the live mic in his hand. I'm going to say that's not a thing.
Again, you have to, if you've read what Joey Styles said.
Yeah.
Where he basically says, you know, I was unprepared. I didn't know. It was one of those, I got thrown out there and that was the first thing that came to my mind. As soon as I said it, I regretted it. I feel like there's got to be some wiggle room when you make a mistake. Especially because he didn't actually say the comment. Like if he had flat out said the thing I'm not going to say, then that's one thing. But I think to reference that is stupid, but I don't think he should be fired for it and almost blacklisted. Like the fallout from this is much bigger than you would have expected with Mike Quackenbush coming out and writing that letter about how wrestling's changing and they want to change it and say goodbye to all the stuff that it was before. Like it's way bigger than I thought it was going to be. And I just feel like it's too big.
I mean, I don't think it's going to stop him from getting work anywhere except for maybe Chikara now, but.
And WWE again, probably for a long time.
Which, I mean, that was already probably. Yeah. Not going to happen anyway, but.
Hey, come on. Do you not feel a little bad for Joey Styles? I mean, you don't have to, obviously, but just referencing the fact that he got fired from WWE for making a stupid comment on the air that he then regretted and then got fired from this for making a stupid comment on the air.
I definitely feel worse for him getting fired from WWE.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Because he was very much trying to play ball.
Yeah.
And like keep it spun in the WWE language that they usually like to hear, like that kind of rhetoric.
And he was very good at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so like I disagree with the WWE firing way more than I disagree with this, because again, your boss tells you, hey, none of this, and that's the first thing you do. I'm sorry, but I wasn't prepared isn't a good enough.
Well, and also, you know, you have to give.
Don't say doing your wife. Yeah. Don't say doing your wife. Like.
Yeah. You got to give a little credit to Joey Styles though for coming out and saying, yeah, it was my fault and I deserve to be fired. You know, I want to point out that it's not Joey Styles that went on Twitter and complained, why'd you fire me? It was wrestling fans that went on and said, why'd you do this? That's stupid. You know, Joey Styles is a national treasure.
I'm not saying anything negative about Joey Styles, minus the fact that he made a mistake. Yeah. And so he has to, like, you know, and I'm like, I even admit, like with Hulk Hogan, the absolute like blacklisting and removal of everything from him. Yeah, that was overkill.
Well, plus, I mean,
and I'm not comparing the situations.
Yeah,
you definitely have
to blame Joey Styles more for going on live.
Like,
mic and
I do think there,
I do think
there should be consequences for the stuff, especially with a company that is trying very hard to market themselves in a certain way.
And I did not know Evolve was marketing itself as family friendly. Mm-hmm. That was unaware to me. I thought it was just that same kind of ROH indie.
It's like if ROH and Chikara had a baby.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Chikara?
I do.
I enjoy it.
For what it is, yeah. And there have been some, like, really great matches to come out of it.
It's good talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, you have Sapolsky, who was the founding booker of Ring of Honor. So, I mean, it's the same thing, but with just a little bit of Chikara in there.
Now, was this the same, to kind of segue, I don't know if this is what you're going to talk about next anyway, but is this the same show that Regal was at?
Because
it was Evolve 73, where Regal came out and offered Tony Nese his WWE contract full time.
I'm not sure about that. I wasn't going to segue quite into that. But we can.
Because we were talking about the WWE. It's right. Like, it's the feeder system for NXT. Like, WWE works with them. Regal was actually there.
Regal's
been there before.
I do want to say, and I don't know how many people are going to take me up on this offer, because I don't know if people are shy or if they just don't know how to reach me or what, but I really do want to know what you guys think about Joey Styles being fired for what he said. I really do. So hit me up on Facebook, you know, podzilla1985.com. You can use Facebook on there to reply to the show. I really want to know your thoughts on it, because I feel like there's going to be someone out there that will defend Styles against the firing, and I want to know why they feel that way. You know, in the blatant, in the face of, I told you not to do this, you did it anyway.
Right.
I just want to know your thoughts. But let's segue that into Tony Nese and Drew Gulak getting contracts finally.
Yep.
Also, Allie, I don't think we ran over any of this with you.
No.
So you're extremely confused.
I am.
At least some of this you're going to know. Do you know who Tony Nese is?
Yes.
He's that guy you think about at night.
No, that's the guy I think about.
Everybody.
That's the guy
everyone thinks about.
This is a trick question. All think about Tony Nese. Tony Nese and Drew Gulak finally got their contracts with WWE. And I'm happy about it. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm just really glad, because I really love Tony Nese. I have not seen as much Drew Gulak as I probably should, but I still feel like Tony Nese is one of those guys that not only can he compete in the cruisers, but I think he could probably compete.
He could be a main roster guy.
He could be a main roster guy.
Which, again, goes back to what we've talked about with the way that WWE's completely screwed up the way they're handling the cruiserweight division.
Yeah.
Especially, like, it's guys like Gulak and Nese who, while they fit in on this, you know,
they're small enough to be in the cruiserweight, yeah.
But they could absolutely do some really good work in just the actual roster.
Yeah, because I know people told Rey Mysterio, you're too small to be main event, but he did very well in the main event. So there's no reason that a guy like Tony Nese, who may be small like Rey Mysterio, but is also jacked to
and
a level
crazy
that
strong,
he's
yeah.
impossibly jacked, there's no reason he couldn't take on the big boys. When I saw on SmackDown, or maybe it was Raw, pretty sure SmackDown, when I saw AJ Styles standing next, it was the Undertaker segment. Mm-hmm. When I saw him standing next to the other guys, I did not realize how small AJ Styles was compared to even a Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Because when you think Bray Wyatt, you don't think he's very big. Mm-hmm. He's more of a normal size guy, but he is big.
Well, and that's like Alberto Del Rio. Like, everyone always forgets how big Alberto Del Rio is until he's standing next to someone like Ziggler and, you know, someone like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, you know, you were a monster of a man.
You're a large man.
And I think they've done a really good job of keeping AJ with guys like, aside from like Roman Reigns, I'm assuming is probably the biggest guy that he's gone up against. Cause it was like Chris Jericho,
well, Cena,
Dean Ambrose, and Cena.
Yeah.
But even Cena is
shorter. I think.
He's on the shorter
side.
He's
stacked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a little tank.
Mm-hmm.
Big Mark Wahlberg.
Yep.
Which is sad because, I don't know how big Mark Wahlberg is.
Not as big as John Cena.
I'm doing the Wikipedia searches right now on it.
But if you feel better about it, you can watch Wahlburgers!
I'm good. All
right. You're so happy right now.
I love that. Have you ever seen that skit on Conan?
No.
Where the guy, all right, so it's my favorite guy on Conan. He comes out, he's dressed up like Game of Thrones, and he keeps talking about how, you know, coming soon is the premiere of this show he loves so much. And he's doing this really, like, kind of old English voice. And they assume it's Game of Thrones, but it's actually Wahlburgers. It's the same skit every time, and it makes me laugh every time.
Like Paul Rudd, time he does the video. Yeah. You have a clip for the movie? Yeah. And you swear it's actually a clip from your movie this time? Yeah.
Like when he did Ant-Man. And Conan was like, okay, so you've got a clip from the movie. He's like, yeah, this time I can't mess around because Marvel, Disney, they're really serious about this. Mm-hmm. And then it's the clip. And Conan's like, I really thought you were going to do this. Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, we're happy about that.
Yes.
Yep.
We'll move on. Let's visit some sad news.
Yes.
We'll do some sad news. You know where I'm going with this, Dalton?
Mm-mm.
Vader.
Oh, I saw that last night.
When you say it's Vader time, we didn't know Vader time was only 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That is the new length that Vader time will be measured by.
Because he's congestive
dying.
Heart failure?
Yes. And I'm really... there's a part of me that's hoping this is one of those things that, like, older wrestler will say to get attention.
See, and that was, like, I felt so bad because that's where my mind went to immediately.
That this was a that drama this was ploy?
That this was because, like, after the fallout from the Osprey match.
Yeah.
That, you know, okay, now no one's really talking about Vader anymore.
Oh, now he has 2 years to live.
And so, and I hate myself for, like, being that cynical.
Well, you know, I ran into that situation last week when we were driving to somewhere up here in Cape, and I see somebody on the side of the road with a sign that says, starving, please, you know, give money for food. And my first thought was scam. They just want money because they want money. And I felt so bad that I went there immediately. Like, yeah. you're so jaded now in life.
Right.
But what the story is that Vader's doctor told him he has 2 years to live due to congestive heart failure for the way he lived his life and the wrestling and the football, and that he's going to make the most out of these 2 years. And I hope this story, I hope it's a lie.
Yeah.
Because I don't want anyone to die, and I've always been a fan of Vader.
Especially when getting that prognosis and you look at the year 2016. You just got to know, like, well, you say 2 years.
I said last week, or maybe it was a couple days ago, that there's still, like, 7 weeks left in 2016. Mm-hmm. It can get worse.
There's a thing I saw on Facebook. It's like, and 2016 is actually going to be 1 second longer. Like, wow. Why are you? What is wrong with you?
So we're going to keep up on that story. But, yeah. I mean, as it looks right now, Vader... 2 years left to live due to congestive heart failure, and God, we hope it's not true.
Yeah.
Because I love Vader. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the best big men ever. And I don't say that like Peggy Hill saying, in my opinion, kindling is best for firewood. No. I think it's pretty well known that Vader is one of the best big men ever, damn shame if that's true.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
Not yet. Mick Foley made a big Facebook post that...
So if this isn't true... Like he never will be.
Oh, how the hell is Vader not a Hall of Famer?
No, but yeah, he absolutely
should. Oh, yeah, no, he should
even
be.
Even before the I'm on my way out type deal.
Don't put Vader in the Hall of Fame because he's dying.
Put him in it
stupid.
Because he actually deserves it.
Put him in because he deserves it.
It's the same thing with Rey Mysterio, and you talked about his main event run. He deserved to be in the main event.
Yeah.
The fact that they had to shoehorn Eddie's death into actually putting him where he should have been all along is disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's the same type of deal. Like, don't just all of a sudden be like, oh, yeah, we missed Vader somehow.
Yeah.
It should just be like, oh, how have we not put Vader in yet?
Like, I get that there was a drama or whatever, but the fact that the Macho Man Randy Savage went into the Hall of Fame after his death always bugged the hell out of me.
Oh, 100%. Because
it's like, how is there a Hall of Fame without the Macho Man? You know? Mm-hmm. He is the Hall of Fame. He is the, maybe not in terms of drawing power, but he's the equivalent of Hulk Hogan in my nostalgia and better than he could ever have been as a wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
Or as an interview. Mm-hmm. The Macho Man was insane. Allie. Insane. And yeah, that Vader hasn't been in the Hall of Fame yet is because he doesn't hate WWE. They've worked together. He was just on there, a couple years ago?
Yeah,
with
beating up Slater.
Yeah, beating up Heath Slater. So it's not like Vader has a bad rep with them.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense why they put people in before him that really didn't deserve it. You know? Yeah. Rikishi.
Oh, man, I'm so upset that we were thinking of the exact same person.
The Rikishi win. And I'm not saying Rikishi doesn't deserve a Hall of Fame spot. By the WWE's criteria, Rikishi should be in the top wing. But the fact that Rikishi went in before Big Van Vader makes no sense.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Because without Big Van Vader, there would be no Rikishi.
Yeah, a lot of the big men wouldn't be where they are without Vader. Especially the guy, because Rikishi is one of those guys that he's a big guy, but he's fast. Mm-hmm. He was. So was Vader. Vader was everything. He was fast. He was big. He was strong. He could fly. Did a moonsault as a finisher.
Yeah, he was a smaller version of Yokozuna.
Allie, once his eye popped out during a match.
I don't know. You told me this. I want to hear it again.
And he grabbed the eye and he put it back in the socket.
No.
No, he did.
He did.
That happened.
It's disgusting.
He just, boop.
It's a man.
Stop talking about this.
He was the reason that Mick Foley has half an ear.
That's true. It's true.
Well, I mean, that was also Mick Foley's fault, but it was in a match against Vader.
He was there.
Yeah. All right. We'll get off of the subject of Vader's eyeball.
Thank you.
For and Allie. Foley's ear.
And let's move on to another travesty, the XFL. Yep.
It was real bad.
They're doing a 30 for 30 on the XFL, which the WWE has promoted.
Which blows my mind.
That is insane.
Honestly,
that's like hey, look at one of our biggest. That's like Nintendo shining a light on the Virtual Boy.
It's the only reason I really added this is because like personally, I don't really care. I just think it's hilarious the fact that WWE is helping promote it.
Same.
Because of all of every backstage story you hear about Vince McMahon, who gets visibly upset to this day.
The XFL.
When someone says something that rhymes with XFL.
Because it is to
I don't
Vince
know what
McMahon.
That would be. Hey Vince, what size shirt do you need? XXL. What'd he say?
Just XFL to
Vince
McMahon.
Who's next?
It's the holiday Star Wars holiday special to George Lucas.
Yeah.
But George Lucas doesn't promote it.
Now I'm going to ask if any of you guys ever seen a 30 for 30?
Yes, watch the one on Scott Hall.
They did one on Scott Hall?
Yeah, didn't they?
I don't know.
They, I have not seen it.
I know they did like a ESPN special for the Performance Center.
No, they did one. Yeah, they did one for Scott Hall. It was the first one I saw from wrestling. And I think it was 30 for 30. Cody, let me know.
But to say, because I mean, I've watched, whenever they put them on Netflix, that's always like my big watch. The 30 for 30s are amazing.
They're a great show, yeah.
I'm really excited for it because the, unless it's promoted by WWE, unless that's like the sponsor, which I doubt it is.
And then they like, they make it seem better than
be
it
like, well,
was.
The NFL is actually, no, like if it's, if they're being brutally honest like they were, like they do in all the other ones, or if it's like some really weird artsy kind of documentary.
Just, they yeah. turn it into just the laughing stock that it was.
Yeah. like I'm hoping it's honest. I hope it's a really good documentary because I love the 30 for 30. I really don't want this to ruin 30 for 30 for me.
They don't
want
to, they don't try to turn it into like, oh, it was just ahead of its time.
Yeah.
You know,
it was
secretly, it was great.
Ali,
but
do you know what the XFL is?
No.
We should clarify this for Ali. So the XFL was Vince McMahon's attempt to outdo the National Football League. He wanted to compete with the NFL.
Why?
Because he's Vince McMahon.
It's Vince McMahon.
And, yeah,
it's
he's
insane.
You're also, this also was like, well, let's see, 2000, or it was founded in 99. That was right at the kind of tail end of the Attitude Era where he could do no wrong.
Yeah, Vince was on fire.
Yeah.
Now so. We wish he was literally on fire.
And wasn't there something going on with the NFL where they were going to like, they were losing TV deals or something weird was happening with like their players?
Maybe a strike?
Something, yeah. I thought.
I think there was a strike maybe. But the XFL was a horrible failure. It was a laughing stock of sports.
Because it was basically just like arena football.
Yeah, glorified arena football.
Well,
and with weirdest rules, like apparently there were bonuses to cheer. I remember this. There were bonuses to cheerleaders who slept with the players.
I think you're thinking of Blitz.
That's Blitz.
That splits the league.
No, I am guarantee you this was a thing. Maybe not sleep with, but dating. That cheerleaders who dated the players got like extra money. I'm gonna look this
up.
Are you
sure that? Are you sure that it's not the like the locker room camera for the cheerleaders that was there?
Was that a thing?
That was a thing. Like a lot, it was made, it wasn't like a, like it was in an actual football field. It wasn't like arena football, it was a completely different field. There was a lot of different rules. Instead of like a kickoff, how much football do you know, Allie?
I know quite a bit of football.
All right. So instead of a kickoff, I don't know what,
no,
yeah.
I'm sorry. No, not to interrupt, but I'm on Wikipedia looking at this and they actually have a listing for the seasons and they just have a listing for seasons, but it's just one.
Just the just one.
It's just
yeah.
the one.
But, so like instead of a kickoff, they put the ball in the middle of the field and they were like, have fun. And then you'd have to run and get the ball. It was a lot looser rules. They also had a shorter season. It wasn't 16 weeks and then a playoff. It played in the summer. So that way it wasn't direct competition with the NFL and they only had the one season, but, also a really, really weird thing that they did instead of having like, if it was like Dalton Anthony and Anthony would be on my jersey. If I played for the Patriots, if I played for one of the XFL teams, I could be like Salty Dalty. I could literally put Salty Dalty on
the back
of my jersey.
The most famous player to come from the XFL. He hate me.
Yeah. He hate
and
me.
He actually went to the NFL. I forget who it was, but he actually was in the NFL for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the XFL.
And
silly.
It was just a devastatingly hilarious failure on all fronts.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, I didn't watch football back then. If this would have happened in like 2006, I would have watched it. I probably wouldn't have liked
it. I watched one game of it.
See, I didn't have the span to watch it back then.
And the only reason I did is because I was so into wrestling. So I was just like, ooh, I love wrestling. I'll watch Vince McMahon doing football. Cool. Oh, well, it's just kind of football, but worse.
Yeah,
and I already don't really like football, so.
It's not like Farouk was playing.
No, yeah. Oh, I want to see that now.
I do too. Just him going out. Damn.
It's a Survivor Series. It's a football game now.
I wonder what Jesse would have thought of the XFL. Because I know he didn't watch it, but. To bridge that gap between wrestling and football.
Very briefly, we'll have to ask him on Thursday.
Very briefly. We don't waste too much time on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that XFL, this was XFL is what they're calling it. The 30 mm-hmm. for 30. Make sure, check that out, guys, because that's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and I'm going to watch
Hopefully.
That. Yeah.
Unless it's just the Undertaker
speech. That
revisionist
history where Vince McMahon was just behind them the entire time while they wrote it. Mm. Just like making it was like, backspace.
It was a joke, Data. It was revolutionary and ahead of its time. Damn it.
Like the World Bodybuilding Federation.
Oh, yeah.
Backspace.
Gave me one of my favorite gifts of all time.
Steroid. Yeah. Backspace.
Boy, Vince is an idiot.
He's not great.
It's almost like he should stick with wrestling.
He should probably stop doing that, too.
He should stop doing everything. It's time to retire.
The thing he should do is just hand everything over to Triple H at this point.
Well, he already handed his daughter over. Oh, that's not an insult because I got married. Anyway.
I don't get it.
Took three goats and some land.
That was an old turn on test.
A what?
And a
turned on to turn on Test.
Yeah.
You gotta betray Test to give Stephanie to Triple H. Do you not remember the most?
No, I thought you meant it took three goats to turn on Test.
No. Oh, no, I missed Test.
All of a sudden, Lexington Steel's coming back around.
No, it's not.
Oh, I see the internet's working.
Yeah.
I'm so
what's
lost.
Next? It's fine.
Jericho.
Yes.
I know Jericho.
You know Jericho.
He did an interview this morning where he said something that I don't know if I fully agree with, but he's comparing this run to his run with Shawn Michaels and Rey Mysterio and Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I think that's my best run, but if it is, this is just behind it.
I agree.
It's really good, but I don't know if it's quite, that 2008 run was so amazing.
It's really good. The only problem I have with this run is that he's definitely a second fiddle to Kevin Owens.
And I kind of like it, though.
I do, too. But I'm just saying that his previous runs where he was the
star. He was the guy, yeah.
Yeah, I think are better. You know?
But he said that this is his favorite run or close to it. And also that he's basically on a month-by-month deal with WWE. His original deal was to be ending at WrestleMania. It was just supposed to be 4 months.
Uh-huh.
And then, okay, well, then that got moved to July. Okay, well, now it's October. Okay, now it's November. Cause he's just like the amount of fun he's having with it.
You can tell.
And yeah. Cause he talks about, he's like, you know, and you know, I don't want to sound dark, but all of my friends are dead or retired. So now I'm working with these guys like AJ, like Seth, like Kevin and Sammy. And at first there's this little bit of hero worship and that's cool. But you know, but then we move past it and it's time to get to work. And now these guys are my best friends now.
I know the feeling here and at Gaming Grounds. I get the same feeling from you guys. You know, a little bit of hero worship when you first came in, but now we've moved past that and we kind of work together and we're all best friends.
So it's interesting to see because he said he has kind of a very loose time stamp of when he'll be done. But then again, like I said that whenever it was going to be a 4 month run and now here we are 10 months later.
Do you kind of feel like though that this might be Jericho's last run?
I honestly think that after Survivor, I think he's going to have one feud. He's going to have a feud with Owens. He has to have a feud with Owens.
Yeah.
Before it. But then once that wraps up, that'll probably be like a championship versus career match.
I really do feel like he's probably on the tail end of it. And that's not because he can't go. He can still go, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But between his music and the acting and all the stuff he's doing, mm-hmm. like, where does he have time?
And a lot of that has taken, it feels like, cause you don't see it, cause used to, it was always, the new project he's acting in or yeah. he's back in the studio or they're touring with Fozzy. Like I can't think of anything really news breaking that has come since he's really been in the deep end of this run.
Cause he's really devoted himself to it.
Yeah.
Like it's not before where it's definitely not a Lesnar thing where he shows up once every couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jericho's there week after week and is some of the best on TV for WWE
hands down.
By far. So yeah,
try it on, man.
That was probably the best thing I've heard in a long time.
Oh. Well, it's just one of those things you see him on TV now and you're just like, oh, how's he going to do it? Oh, there it is.
He's going to top it somehow and he always does. Yeah.
The scarves were amazing. I want that one.
Oh, Strowman. I love you. I'm not saying that because I'm so afraid of you.
I kind of agree with Dalton though. I wish they would have cut away from Strowman and when they put it back on him, he's wearing the scarf.
Yeah, that would have been hilarious.
That would have been hilarious. But they still did a pretty good job with him. Mm. Let's move on to Goldberg. Let's get this out of the way real quick. Goldberg may have tweaked his shoulder, I believe, right?
Yeah, he, and this is from SEScoops.com. So just boulder assault.
Would you say a scoop assault?
How many scoops?
Two.
Cool.
Straight up was just like, yeah, my body feels terrible. And it's almost like, hey, so you know that time when they're like, oh, so are you going to like go to the performance center or train to actually wrestle? No, I'm going to work on cardio. Yeah, okay, but what about, like, the stuff? Because you're going to get thrown, right? Like, you just have to assume. You think your body's hurts after throwing around some security guards?
Yeah. Wait till you get the beast incarnate.
It's almost like this match is going to be terrible because he hasn't been training properly for it. He looks great.
I was going to say the match might be terrible, but Dalton, can you tell me about Goldberg's body?
The only thing that's aged is his goatee. Because he took the shirt off, and I was like, oh, where's the tummy? Where's the tummy? Where's the tummy? Because he kept standing behind all the guards. And then you see it, and I was like, oh, there's not an ounce of tummy on him.
He looked better than Lesnar. Lesnar's bigger, don't get me wrong. But his body is so much more defined than Brock Lesnar's. I feel like if he dyed his beard, you wouldn't have even known that Goldberg had aged, really.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, though, it's, you know, Goldberg is in great shape. No one's denying that. But there's a difference between being in shape and being in wrestling shape.
Yeah, functional. Yeah.
And he's doing, like, combat training, like Muay Thai stuff. But
that's
again,
great for wrestling.
But again, there's such a difference between actually like having to throw your body around and take all these bumps.
Yeah, I mean, like really the only training he needs to take is to have someone suplex him over and over.
It just
and
blows
over
my mind that he wouldn't go to the performance center for a week.
There's got to be a little bit of arrogance there. He's Goldberg.
Yeah, but I'm
Bill Goldberg.
I stand by my statement that ever since this match was even teased, it's going to be terrible.
And I agree with him, but I still want to see it. I still want to see it. But
like, knowing they've scheduled a train wreck.
I say I want to see it, but I also spend a lot of time on days off and days here at the store, to be fair, watching break videos about car crashes. Allie?
Yes.
Have I ever shown you the video? There's a video of
probably
a wrestler who gets his eye knocked out.
No!
Oh, that's Vader!
No!
It's Vader.
No!
He's the same
no!
dude that tore with
no!
Mick Foley's ear off.
Why are we back to this?
Speaking of part-time guys, let's talk
about because we're talking about wrestlers who are probably about to die.
Speaking of which, Undertaker.
Hey. Oh, you mean Casper the Bellend Ghost? Oh, you mean Ghosty McGhosthead? Oh, you mean the Phantom of the Ring? Oh, you mean Adam from What Culture, you piece of shit?
Oh, where were you going?
I knew where he was the entire time.
Undertaker made his grand return to WWE on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dalton, when was the last time we saw Undertaker? Was it versus Lesnar when he beat him? No, when Lesnar beat him?
No. He beat Shane McMahon.
That's right, WrestleMania. How did I forget?
Mm-hmm.
Which Undertaker came out to cheer on Team SmackDown in their fight against Team Raw at the Survivor Series, and he pointed to Shane McMahon and said, who better to lead Team Blue than a man who has no fear?
How about
Charlie
Undertaker,
Cox and
the guy who won the guy who won the match from WrestleMania.
Yes, but Shane jumped off the cage.
But Shane was the most formidable opponent he's ever had.
It's the thing you say.
He also threatened all the wrestlers. The important thing, though, this is why we're mentioning this.
Mm-hmm.
We all assumed it was either going to be just a promotion for SmackDown for the 900th episode, which we'll talk about here in a minute, or that it was going to be building toward his Mania match of the year. But he said something interesting. Dalton, what did he say?
What
the hell was that?
It was a whistle.
I think he went...
Was that a whistle tip?
I hate that we're like this
we're
today.
We're in sync.
Yeah. He said, WrestleMania will not define my career anymore. And then I looked at... Whenever he said that, I looked at Ace. I was like, what? Does he have a championship running him? Is he going to do a 12-week program? He's got 3 matches left. I'm being generous.
I truly believe that The Undertaker could do a full-time schedule if he wanted to. I really do.
Minus house shows, but yes, I agree with that.
He could definitely do a Jericho style.
Oh,
where he
yeah.
comes out once a week and maybe doesn't always wrestle or they protect him in his matches, but he could definitely
bring back Teddy Long.
But is The Undertaker, and I'm going to be offensive real quick. I'm going to get people mad at me, but is The Undertaker interesting enough now to keep you coming back week after week?
I mean, they're putting James Ellsworth on the screen.
Yeah,
but
James Ellsworth has that comedic sense. I feel like comedy is easier to watch week by week than drama. Because comedy makes you laugh, it's fluffy. I feel like Jericho is an easier sell week by week than The Undertaker. But it depends on how they write him, honestly.
I would agree with that only in the sense because Jericho's more versatile in what you can get out of him.
And that's what I mean. Undertaker's character itself is so limited in scope.
But the spectacle is still there. Look how hyped people are just for this Lesnar-Goldberg match. The spectacle is all you need. Plus, with the matches that he's put on in the last, like, 4 WrestleManias, he can clearly
still
wrestle
yeah.
amazing.
So,
is the spectacle going to last if he comes out week after week?
Yeah.
You think so?
It's The Undertaker.
Yeah,
Taker,
yeah. And if they...
Especially for this, just, like, if it's only from, like, Survivor Series through WrestleMania.
Do you...
100%.
Do you want to see The Undertaker beat AJ Styles for the title?
No.
No. What I do want to see is, if they do it, because he said he's like, WrestleMania's not going to define me anymore. And this isn't like, he said something about it not being a one-off. He's like, I'm back to, digging holes and taking souls.
Yeah.
If Team SmackDown loses the singles match, which, I mean, it could happen, and the rest of his run from now till WrestleMania is once every couple of weeks going in and taking out one of those guys, just destroying him. And he's not a dead man anymore. He's more of an outlaw.
Leading up to AJ Styles versus Undertaker for the title at Mania.
And then Styles going over. I would.
I'm sorry. I thought you was corn.
Bone after the teeth.
But I mean, you know what I'm saying. Instead of
emerald.
But every week I do this. Every week I come in.
I'm sorry.
I get turded on. This is.
Well, then get to your point. Quit whining.
But yeah, he just. But like, if he just comes in and bees like as an outlaw instead
and
of.
Bees.
So what do you think, Shannon? This is your show. I'm
it's
hero.
Our show.
I'm hero struck.
Calm down.
Feed me, Mama Bird.
I think that The Undertaker could do a... I agree with you. All joking aside, I think he could. And I think that's an interesting story, actually, that he takes out those guys one by one leading up to him versus AJ Styles. I think that's a good story, and they could go with that. But I don't think they'd put AJ over him.
Not at WrestleMania.
If
they do, if he's one of the first ones, like, so I know it's already Dean Ambrose versus AJ at TLC.
Yeah.
But like, whatever the next SmackDown pay-per-view would be, like, if they just went straight into AJ, because then you can have him end the WrestleMania streak on someone like Randy Orton again, Bray Wyatt again, Dean Ambrose, especially if you kind of pull the trigger on what it kind of feels like what they're doing and turn him heel.
Goldberg.
No. Ew.
Goldberg
gross.
Versus Undertaker at Mania.
Shut up.
Gross.
Icon shut versus
up.
Icon.
Shut up, Sam from whatever his wrestling show is.
Sam Roberts.
Sam Roberts.
the Sam Roberts show. Yeah, the Sam Roberts
one.
Podcast.
Yeah, that one.
let's get through. All right, so Undertaker back full time, hopefully. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see it. Let's breeze through some of these real quick so we get to the big thing. You got SNL. I guess this is the ratings. SNL did two.
SDL. SmackDown Live.
Oh, I thought that was SNL.
No.
Why would that be?
No,
well, I thought maybe
it was
just comparing in that SNL got trounced by Raw.
No.
Because it was a good show.
I mean,
it Chappelle
might have been,
on
I don't
it.
Know.
He brought back, the haters.
Favorite. The news from that is, so with the 900th episode and them hyping it so much, it almost, matched Raw's ratings, which it hasn't done since the draft.
Which is a shame because SmackDown is the better show.
And it spiked, I think it was 800,000 viewers.
Yeah, that's
compared to last week.
2.72 for SmackDown, 2.87 for Raw. Mm-hmm. I feel SmackDown should have better ratings than it does because it's the superior show.
Yeah.
I can watch SmackDown and not get too angry, but I swear to Christ, every time we watch Raw here, my blood boils.
It's a good thing you weren't watching SmackDown yesterday then.
It
because
was rough.
I was about to lose my mind.
I was literally laying on my couch playing, if I remember correctly at the time, I was playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 on Nintendo, The Manhattan Project.
For the best.
No. No. Manhattan Project was on Genesis. No, that was Hypersonics. I'm right.
There you
Hello.
Go.
Hello. This is Nerd Up. Welcome back. I'm Jesse Kimball. So tell me about SmackDown, because it was the 900th craptacular, is what you have written down here on the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you... Hey, hello, Poochie. You look like you have something to say. Do you?
Don't do drugs. You're not getting to the fireworks factory today.
Well, no. All right. So tell me about SmackDown. I didn't see
it. Okay.
And I wanted to see it, but here's the bad thing. The way that Asa and the gang watch SmackDown and the way we usually watch it is here at the store on my PlayStation View because we can watch it that way. But I was sick last night. I could not make it in. So I stayed at home. So I knew if I watched it, you couldn't watch it. And since I was playing Ninja Turtles 3, The Manhattan Project, I thought, okay, I'll catch up. They'll catch me up. So catch me up on it.
Okay, so they spent weeks advertising the 900th episode of SmackDown. It is the second longest weekly episodic running television show.
What's
whatever.
The first?
The Simpsons. No, it's Raw. So it's like 1200 to 900, and then it's like 600.
Yeah,
something.
Young and the Restless wants you to, when you do an episode a day, come and talk to them.
it's weekly, not daily.
No.
But so they're making this big deal. The Undertaker is coming back. Edge is coming back. Because every time they do a show like this on Raw, they bring out everybody.
The big guns, yeah.
Hulk Hogan comes in, Stone Cold Steve Austin comes in.
Which, by the way, Hogan apparently was in the intro video for SmackDown this week.
I didn't notice that. Also, apparently, literally the day after we got done talking about how he's in talks with WrestleMania, Hogan came out and said Brooke was making the whole thing up and that he wasn't. Which, it's Hogan.
Grain of
so,
salt.
So, yeah, who
Boulder
knows?
Salt.
He,
yeah.
He might be trying to preserve the big surprise.
Which he should, honestly.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. But so when Raw gets this pageantry and just like the history of it, and yeah, SmackDown is a much younger show, but it still has some big names attached to it.
Like The Undertaker.
Like The Undertaker, or like The Rock, who made a lovely Instagram post about it they dedicated like 2 minutes to.
Allie, did you know that SmackDown was named after The Rock?
It was
yep.
his catchphrase. He took people to SmackDown Hotel.
Yeah, he laid the SmackDown on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here's basically The Rock show.
And he lost on the first episode.
That he did an Instagram post for, by the way.
Yeah. Not a live via satellite, not a pre-recorded
didn't
message.
Didn't even tweet.
Literally just an Instagram post. So, all right, that's one thing. They do a 5-minute video package for Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg at Survivor Series. And I get it. That's the big marquee match for the pay-per-view on Sunday. But that's the Raw match.
Yeah.
you don't want to give any sort of credit to like, and SmackDown doesn't have that match, or an equivalent to that match, even close to it.
Nope.
But still, they don't, there was barely even a video montage. They did a handful of SmackDown moments, but nothing close to what Raw gets.
Right.
You get a 5-minute video package of that. The Miz beats Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental Championship.
I thought you guys were joking. I think it was Dalton posted in there, well, Ziggler's the new,
Miz is the new champ.
And I thought, oh, that's funny. That's so, really?
Yeah.
Really?
But now, so that's the historic moment though. There was a title change, I guess. That's not even the biggest problem. That is more Survivor Series. Which
but
we'll
we really,
too.
We really had hopes that Ziggler would not get screwed over again this time.
Yeah.
Really, this time I thought this is it. This is his chance.
And
look what happened.
Look, why hope? two of the things that really got under my skin, three, four, five of the things. The main event has Undertaker come out for the last 3 minutes. Like it's what, 58 or 52?
Yeah,
when
it was
52, his music hits.
And we were like, oh, you better
need to be booking it to the ring because you are not quick about that normally.
Needs to ride that Harley.
He comes
down
out
there.
And he's literally just a cheerleader for Team SmackDown. No better man than Shane McMahon to lead the team. Oh, except I beat you at WrestleMania. Oh, you're the man without fear? I'm the god of fear, according to Bray Wyatt, because he's the new one, and I'm the OG. So, yeah, no, I'm back on SmackDown. Maybe you should take the spot.
Well, here's my question about that. Is he back on SmackDown?
Yeah.
Because
SmackDown is his home.
Yeah, and I know he said that. Mm-hmm. But if I remember correctly, he was never drafted. And since he was never drafted.
Brock Lesnar or Goldberg were never drafted either.
Lesnar was.
Yeah. That's right.
And Goldberg, he got challenged. Mm-hmm. I get that. If he's not an official Raw superstar. But Undertaker seems like he's staking his claim on SmackDown. If he did get signed, like, if he is a part of SmackDown, why is that not a huge, we signed The Undertaker?
You get that if you ever played the 2002 wrestling game, Here Comes the Pain. If you played the GM mode, he was undraftable because he always went to SmackDown. So, that rule just carries over 14 years.
I get that. Voyeured. Why would you not promote that?
In a show that is so iconic as the 900th episode.
Right.
That was, and I even told you this when we were watching it, that was the only time they made SmackDown feel relevant because they did nothing but show clips from Raw. They showed the Raw recap. They showed the 5-minute Goldberg buildup. They showed the state of the WWE address where Stephanie McMahon did nothing but belittle SmackDown, literally call them the B show.
Literally.
Call them the B show and then, oh, well, Team Raw will be victorious on Sunday.
I believe her.
And that's
because that's how they made me believe.
And so they do nothing but shit on SmackDown for 2 hours on their 900th episode. And then it's wrapped in, oh, Edge comes back and he wants to shake the hand of the man who really kind of proved everyone wrong and all this. And AJ Styles gets all blustery and then he shakes James Ellsworth's hand. Because do you get it?
Because
he's the mascot. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It was a bad show. But the two things that really got me angry have to do with Survivor Series. And I've said before, one of my least favorite wrestling tropes is, oh, we're both faces, so we're on the same team automatically.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate when Seth Rollins came to Roman Reigns' defense, or vice versa, however it happened, it was dumb. Survivor Series is that, but a million times worse.
Yeah, we talked about this.
On each show.
It is people on each show who are in heated feuds, yeah, you're the WWE champion, and that's literally my championship. That's the only thing I care about. But you and I are fine now because Team Red said something mean. No.
Well, it's
Baron Corbin gets a video package about he doesn't need anyone. He doesn't do this for the fans. He doesn't do this for the other wrestlers. He's in it for himself. Super excited to be part of Team SmackDown. No. Well, and the thing that really got me, and I'm sorry to keep cutting you off,
okay,
but it needs to be said, Carmella and Nikki Bella had a match on SmackDown. Carmella actively tried to re-break Nikki Bella's neck. She was trying to end her career. She said that was her goal. Team Raw comes out, the women's team. Charlotte comes to the ringside because she bought a front row ticket, and Nikki Bella just swings at her. She attacks Charlotte, drags her over the guardrail. Nikki Bella is disqualified, Carmella's disqualified, even though it was only Nikki Bella throwing any sort of offense. Charlotte gets the upper hand, and then the rest of Team Raw comes in, including Bayley. Ultimate babyface happy-go-lucky Bayley participates in a 5-on-1 beatdown on an already, like, someone who just came off an injury and who was just in a very high-impact match. Carmella hit that neckbreaker off the apron onto the floor.
Yep.
It looked gross, but it was a great spot. But Bayley is now helping with this 5-on-1 because go Team Raw. Screw that. You know what else? Screw that even harder. Carmella showing up and attacking Team Raw to help defend the woman whose career she just tried to end. What the fuck?
Dang it. You lied to me. You lied to me.
Yeah, because I'm already getting pissed off.
You said you couldn't get angry.
Yeah, and I, because the more I think about it, the more just stupid it is. Because I'm so proud of my brand. This woman who I'm trying to actively cripple, I'm going to save. Defend it. Anyone, defend it.
She wants to be the one to end it, not Raw Team.
No, no, Dalton, back away.
No, I mean,
if they actually said that, yeah,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, like, I'm giving an answer. That wasn't being antagonistic.
Because I'll admit, the way that Shane and Daniel Bryan were defending SmackDown, they actually kind of made it seem sense. Like, okay, this is the one time a year. We'll put our differences aside. Like, I get it.
So,
but then you have stuff like that, or the Usos all in the room, and King Booker comes out, and they're all dancing and smiling and happy, and all hail King Booker, all hail King Booker. And then once they actually get in the ring, and they're on the same side, then they start like, oh, I'm going to pretend to tag in Jason Jordan, but then I'm not. Go screw yourself.
Let's tie that into the state of the WWE address.
Ugh.
Because I think what you said is entirely fair. Like, you're absolutely right. I wish I could get that angry over things anymore, but I'm so whatever most of the time now. But Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, when talking to Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon came across as the most patronizing, script reading, arrogant sons of bitches.
Minus script reading for Stephanie, yes. Mick Foley, yes, was just the angry hobo who wandered on the...
Mick was definitely more genuine than Stephanie. Stephanie might as well have been one of those psychic things that you put a quarter in and she just gives you something.
Team Raw will be victorious over Team SmackDown this Sunday at Survivor Series.
That's not a prediction. That's a guarantee. But Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon seemed so legitimate. They seemed so genuine. And I don't know if that just shows you how much better they are at their characters, how much better they are at acting, whether or not
they're just not acting. I don't think.
I feel like they really feel like this is BS and they really care more about the SmackDown brand than Stephanie and Mick. Maybe not Mick, because Mick and Bryan got into a heated thing. Which you told me that Bryan went back to talking smack style.
Oh, no, that was my favorite Reddit quote from the state of WWE universe. Shane McMahon turned off his mic. Daniel Bryan went full talking smack. Mick Foley was the guy who wandered onto the set and they somehow gave a live microphone. And then Stephanie McMahon was the drawstring. Team Raw will be victorious this Sunday over Team SmackDown Survivor Series.
I get it. This was we're here to promote.
They had to be in character.
Yeah.
But
I feel like Bryan was not in character.
Oh, he definitely wasn't when he told Mick Foley, you can't say that I'm not happy with this job because I would rather be wrestling, when you said yourself, oh, I quit in 2001 to be with my family. But then you, in 2001, when you quit, you went to TNA and you did what? You wrestled.
Yeah. Which really really stuttered Foley, because I don't think any of them expected him to say that.
Oh, no.
But you didn't hear about Daniel Bryan getting in trouble for it, so.
Well, I mean, Stone Cold put up pictures of AJ Styles in TNA whenever he had AJ Styles on.
Because I think there's a difference between mentioning the competitor, and I use that term loosely.
I mean,
there's also a difference between Stone Cold and Daniel Bryan. Stone Cold is a guy that they will go out of their way for. Daniel Bryan is a guy they like.
I don't know. I don't think if they didn't love Daniel Bryan, they would have had no problem just like, well, your contract's done, so bye.
They're actively
trying to keep him on the payroll.
And it feels like he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, and it may very well just be kind of we know if we stop paying you, you'll go somewhere and try to wrestle, so we can't let you do that.
But when Daniel Bryan has the choice of either going somewhere else and wrestling, because I assume he has money. I assume he may not be loaded, but he is comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
He is comfortable.
And you know that he's one of those like indie guys that saves every penny.
Yeah, exactly. He never really went crazy with his spending. So for him, the choice is either you come to our show and here's what we're giving you. Carmella tries to murder Nikki Bella, but then comes to her aid when the other team decides to take her on. Or you can go somewhere and wrestle on the independents and be happy. How quickly is Daniel Bryan booking a flight down to Ring of Honor or to Japan or something like that. You know, they have to have, they're giving him something.
Yeah.
They have to be, because he seems way too prideful to just quote unquote take a position.
Right.
But it is BS. Mm-hmm. I can't yell and scream like you did, but I agree with you 100%. I've said it since the beginning. I love wrestling, but I hate writing for wrestling. I hate that they have writers for wrestling, that they write out everything. And you, I know wrestling has never been high art. It's not high art.
But
it's
then you
not.
Have stuff like the Chris Jericho, Shawn Michaels feud.
Yeah.
Either of them.
Or Undertaker versus Michaels.
Or
the career versus streak.
Yeah.
There are moments in wrestling that you go, that's a good story. I understand why they're doing that. Look at the Max Landis who did the Triple
wrestling
H.
Wrestling isn't wrestling?
Yeah. Fantastic the way he figured that out and put it all together. But how do you put this together? How can you defend this as anything other than lazy booking?
And this
lazy
all,
booking.
This all could have 100% been avoided without the stupid brand split.
Yeah.
Cause I would
well,
so much
Brian,
rather.
Remember Brian on the State of the WWE? He laughed and said, well, you get 3 hours and you can barely, you know,
yeah,
fill
you
it.
Get, you, yeah. Oh, yeah. The, such a good line. Cause he's right.
He is. Daniel Bryan is the man.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that called out Mick Foley for like, you don't understand
this generation.
Yeah. You don't understand this generation. Like, yeah, dude. He's like, no, it's two different things. He came, and then Stephanie's like, he came up through the ranks just like you did. He came up through WCW.
And ECW.
And ECW. Yeah. And I was like,
and then very quickly, Stephanie Mann said, it doesn't matter. What matters is now and that Raw will be victorious.
Ugh.
Screw
yeah,
Stephanie
no,
Mann.
I
hate
did,
her.
Did not like the state of the WWE universe except for Daniel Bryan.
I like when Dan, and Shane is like, is it just me or does
Again,
Shane just seem like the coolest
guy? He turned off
guy?
His mic.
Yeah. He's
like,
just the coolest guy in the world.
It's like, I like SmackDown. It's going to be Shane O'MacDown. Boo.
Oh, and the line where Linda likes Shane more, but Vince likes Stephanie more. I believe that.
Oh, 100%.
100%.
I feel like that was someone's like, oh, you want to go there? We'll go there. Cause
yeah.
I'm definitely dad's favorite.
Well, I hope the best for Ivanka and Donald.
Friggin', and honestly, like, I don't think I would hate Stephanie nearly as much as I did if she wasn't condescending towards, you know, Daniel Bryan and just like rude borderline heel.
Everyone.
In one segment.
Yeah.
And then the next segment, she's trying to start a how you doing chant.
Yeah, that was a rough to watch.
Her, like, she's
no rough to watch.
There's no consistency to her character.
Can you tell me a single time? I can only think of one time that I've ever thought Stephanie McMahon was entertaining. And that was when she was, I still say her feud with Brie Bella.
Ooh, okay, we were going to say the
same. Up until the BS ending of the match was one of the best Stephanie / Brie Bella, both of them.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't think of another time that I saw Stephanie McMahon and thought, I'm glad she's on TV.
In the original Invasion, I really liked her.
Really?
In ECW, especially whenever, like...
The $1 billion princess?
I know this was... Yeah, but I know this was a separate time, but also when she was basically feuding with Jericho. So any time that she was on the same screen as Jericho...
They were good together. But, like, everything else, who always won? Stephanie.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Jericho make a comment? He's like, I've never said an impolite...
I've never said an impolite, rude thing about you, Stephanie. You know this. Whenever Rollins accused him of putting her on the list.
Yeah, he's just, I've never said a mean thing about you, and then I would just get
you immediately
ace
go
it
back to that to Jericho calling her a trash bag,
bottom
feeding. I don't remember
$2,
all
$2. Yeah,
it was bad.
Bad word.
It was as rough as Attitude Era could get. All right, we don't have a lot of time, so let's just really quick.
Let's do Survivor Series first, and then end on NXT.
Billy Corgan.
Oh yeah,
we got to mention this. Billy Corgan signed a settlement.
Yep. Which he said, so that was like 4 or 5 days ago. He said he would be doing some interviews this week. I don't know if any have come out yet, with the actual details, but yeah, Anthem / TNA, they agreed on a settlement. So
that sounds like Billy Corgan is out. The
He's
savior's
gone.
Gone.
Yep.
TNA's back to business. SSDD.
Mike Bennett put, back to bad business as usual.
Yep. When your guys are calling you out like that in public, something's wrong.
But you have to keep signing the checks because
so,
who's going to wrestle?
Will TNA finally fold? Have we seen? was Billy Corgan the last savior of TNA?
Tune in again next week.
For another episode of TNAZ.
Of Will It Die?
All right, let's get to... you had one other thing on here. I want to know what it is because I don't know what this is. New Japan Pro Wrestling has...
Oh, Kevin Kelly announced that Wrestle Kingdom 11, I think, is the next one I have written there.
Yeah.
Will be they're doing ROH is doing the English broadcast for that.
That's awesome.
So they're doing the English So English broadcasting will be for New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom.
Last Wrestle Kingdom, actually, Dalton showed it to me over at the Jackson store. That was the first time I'd ever saw Shinsuke Nakamura. Mm-hmm. That's also the first time I had seen AJ Styles in forever. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, wow, he looks different. He looks awesome.
I just remember how, like, I was like, you've never seen Nakamura wrestle? And you were like, no. Never. And I was like, oh, well, I picked a good match to show you.
It was a fantastic match.
NXT Tonight made me want just a Nakamura heel Andrade Cien Almas match so bad.
Because he did fantastic as a heel.
Oh, yeah.
That DDT is sick.
Yeah, that hammerlock DDT finisher.
Nuts. All right. We're going to talk about Survivor Series first. We're just going to go over the matches because I really don't have a lot to say about it. I'm just going to be honest.
It's so predictable.
It is.
Like, I would put money up for what my predictions will be or what they go with.
Miz versus Zayn for the IC title now that Miz is the champion and Dolph Ziggler is not.
Hunter made a really good point on the group chat about they're going to take it off of Miz, but then do some sort of weird, like, oh, well, then Zayn somehow signs with SmackDown, but Miz goes to Raw, which, again, it would make so much more sense to not have them name the open challenger and just have Miz sign
a contract
to Raw
to whoever,
because he already wants off of SmackDown so badly.
Yeah.
There's so many better ways to do this.
Yes.
And that don't end up with Ziggler just having a nothing title reign.
But I absolutely agree. I see Zayn winning and Miz switching. Mm-hmm. 100%. I agree. Kendrick versus Kalisto for the cruiserweight, everything.
Division.
Yeah.
With the caveat of if Brian Kendrick loses, SmackDown gets the cruiserweight division.
Dusty finish?
Dusty finish. Kendrick puts his title over the rest of the division, even though he gave that speech on Raw. So he gets himself counted out / disqualified. SmackDown still gets the cruiserweight division, but Kendrick keeps the championship.
That's right.
Because, gee, I wonder where this is going to go, considering that they taped the cruiserweight show the same night as SmackDown.
Why did they send the email 4 weeks ago to me to watch it?
Why did Nintendo send Billy an email 5 hours after the Nintendo Classic came out saying, hey, did you pick one up? I couldn't!
I hope so.
He almost did, but I got it. Anyway.
Thanks, Billy.
In the big cruiser, or the Raw versus Jericho, Raw versus SmackDown match. It's Owens, Jericho, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, and Rollins versus Styles, Ambrose, Wyatt, Orton, and Shane with James Ellsworth as the mascot. Oh, by the way, real quick, I do have something to say about this. We talked about how terrible SmackDown was. Mm-hmm. How about Raw? Can we talk for just 1 second about Raw?
Absolutely.
It was bad.
How can they keep screwing over the New Day like this? That you cannot promote the New Day as the best tag team in the world, except when you need to make someone else look strong. They lose every time. Wyatt's at WrestleMania. Lost. This week against, Jericho, Rollins, and Strowman. Lost. You can't do that. You can't treat the New Day that way. Because either they're the best or they're not. They did a segment backstage in the Raw Fallout that I sent you guys. I don't know if you watched it. Where they almost heal. Borderline heel reacting to their loss, and they were fantastic, and that's the New Day I like. But I think it's ridiculous that you parade the New Day around as longest tag team champions as whatever, just for them to lose against a thrown together tag team that don't like each other.
And that's the thing that's always bugged me too.
Yes, you know how weak that makes them look?
John Cena and Randy Orton versus the entire Raw roster?
Terrible. It's absolutely terrible. This is the kind of mindless, stupid booking that makes Asa F-word on this show. And I'm not even joking. That is true.
I'm not apologizing for it.
Because Asa is one of the people that reins me in usually and says, hey, we should watch the language when we do this. And I go, you're right. So for Asa to get that mad shows you how stupid the booking is. That's all.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Okay. That's all I'm going to say about Raw. That I did want to kind of mention the other stupid thing where Cesaro and Sheamus also lost to Roman Reigns. I'm sure Owens was there, but they lost to Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Screw Roman. Nope. Moving on. speaking of the New Day. New Day, Enzo and Cass, the Shining Stars, for some reason, and the Club, and Sheamus and Cesaro versus American Alpha, Freezango, which apparently is a face team now.
Yes. They are the fashion police on SmackDown, and it is the one thing that gives my life light.
I need to see that.
You do.
Slater and Rhino, the Usos, and the Hype Bros. Excited. I'm just excited Zack Ryder has something to do Sunday.
Yeah.
I honestly think SmackDown's going to get swept.
At Survivor Series. This is the only one I see SmackDown winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the New Day is on the other side. They're the champs. They don't need to win. Mm-hmm. We tell you they're important. We tell you Bray Wyatt is the God of Fear. He doesn't have to win to prove it.
Yep.
Aren't you scared?
Speaking of which.
What's the matter, Red? You scared?
Because I'm calling it now, since we moved past it already. James Ellsworth actually costs,
SmackDown?
SmackDown. I think Randy Orton turns on Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
And I think James Ellsworth inadvertently again cost Dean Ambrose the final Soul Survivor spot. He will then cost him the TLC match, which will then just turn Dean Ambrose full heel on Ellsworth.
And then that leads,
I don't think, I almost said they can't do that, but then they did it with Colin Delaney.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I think this all ends with Dean Ambrose going heel, but a Raw.
And obliterating James Ellsworth, send him back to the Indies, like Booker said. and then Charlotte, Bailey the killer.
Yeah.
Bailey the murderer. Sasha Banks, Nia Jax, I gotta stop doing that. And Alicia Fox, one of these things is not like the other. One of these things is a, you know,
I'm
obsolete.
I'm surprised it's not Dana Brooke. Like, how is it not Dana Brooke?
Yeah, how is it not Dana Brooke? Versus Becky Lynch, Nikki Bella, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, and Carmella.
And Charlotte's undefeated pay-per-view streak remains intact. This is the, like, you mentioned whenever.
Charlotte is female Roman Reigns. I don't like them.
Whenever, on Sunday when we drove to St. Louis Dalton, and you mentioned, like, well, this is the one that they could probably, like, oh, well, she got herself counted out, or, like, you know, she technically didn't lose. Yeah. And I was like, I really don't see him doing that,
though. Because they did that with my precedent was Umaga.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Because that's how they got Umaga off a match without him getting defeated.
This is a stupid pay-per-view.
But the difference between Umaga is he was just a full-on undefeated streak, whereas this is at every pay-per-view. So for her to not, it'll be her, Sasha, and Bailey.
Yeah.
Are the three. I'd put money on it.
Gee, I wonder, you don't think Alicia Fox is going to make it?
She's the red shirt.
And then Goldberg versus Lesnar.
Who cares? Goldberg gets injured.
Here's what I want to see from that match. I want to see the entrance and the initial lockup. That's it.
We can do that on 2K17.
Well, I like Jim Ross's.
Unless it glitches.
I like Jim Ross's fantasy booking of it, kind of, where they just beat the crap out of each other for 20 minutes in just a hard-fought, even contest. They're both exhausted and beaten down. Hooded figure comes out, destroys both of them, lays them both out. Samoa Joe.
Oh, well, just as good. Up until the Samoa Joe part, I think that's how it's going to be. Even match, back and forth. I think it's going to be a hard-hitting match.
I think it'll be a hard-hitting match, but I don't think Goldberg is going to get more than one spear in.
Yeah, he's not going to get the W, because there's no point in him getting the W.
No chance.
All right, so there's no reason for Goldberg to win, because he's already beat Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
This is Lesnar's rematch, his revenge. The thing with Lesnar is that he's the big monster. But at the same time, why would Goldberg come back for one match to lose? Goldberg's arrogant. It's one of those things that you almost could see it not working, but it's going to be terrible no matter what.
Yeah.
And unless Hulk Hogan comes back, I don't care. All right, so Survivor Series is out of the way. One last thing before we go. We're going to talk about NXT TakeOver. This one's going to be from the same
Toronto,
place.
Yeah.
It's Toronto. So they're going to Canada, which, by the way, you can go to Villain's Grounds. You can still get the O Canada if you want one.
It's a taste of Canada.
A taste of Canada. And you can sing O Canada to them. they like when you sing to them. They also apparently really like them when I go, no! They enjoyed that last time I was there. Nakamura versus, well, I'm going the wrong way. Let's go the other way. Bobby Roode versus Ty Dillinger.
So excited for this match.
Bobby Roode has done very well for himself since coming to NXT.
Would you say he's done a glorious job?
He's no perfect 10, though.
Oh, he's not. But is he? This is a match where it's like, it was the same thing with Asuka, Bayley. Like, why does one of you have to lose?
Right.
Can't you just talk this out?
Oh, they just said, and on
like,
NXT,
wrestle for 30 minutes, but then, like, make an agree, come to an
agree
agreement.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And then, NXT did such a good job hyping Ty this week.
Too. They did. They made him seem like such a big deal.
They made Ty Dillinger feel more important through past video clips than SmackDown did for their entire show.
Ty Dillinger. Like, nothing against Ty Dillinger, but the NXT crew put it together so well.
His release, his run on ECW, his time in FCW, like, they put work in.
The Authors of Pain versus TM61 in the Dusty Tag Finals. I know Authors of Pain are going to win.
With
Paul Ellering in a cage.
In a shark cage suspended above the ring.
Because Paul Ellering has been so instrumental in their victories?
He has been.
Oh, recently,
little,
yeah.
Like, has he?
Throughout the tournament. Yeah. The tournament itself, he has been.
You're welcome, Dusty.
I actually think TM61 wins this.
I feel like they're really pushing the Authors of Pain. They see the Authors of Pain as the next big tag team.
I mean, they could be, because I've turned around on the Authors of Pain. I was just like, generic bad guys. But no, they're actually like
hard hitters.
Impressive. Their match with DIY, where I think it was Rezar who had Ciampa on his shoulders and then Gargano in his arms, and he did a combo Samoan drop fall away slam where he cleared over Ciampa. It's like, okay, no, that's just scary strength.
You can't do that.
No, yeah, that defies physics.
So but that'll be an interesting one to see.
I think TM61 needs it more.
They do.
Not that they do anything with it, but.
And usually when they put a weird stipulation like your manager in a cage, you usually...
That's usually the out.
See, that's how I feel like they're going to twist it, though. I feel like the Authors of Pain are going to win. I feel like they'll probably turn on Ellering before too long, too.
And I mean, the Authors of Pain have already beat TM61 on NXT before.
Yeah, so...
That's been a thing.
And to jump back real quick, who do you think wins, Rude, Dillinger?
Rude. I feel like...
I do too, but I also, part of me kind of thinks that this could be the one, the big... I know Dillinger is kind of the breeze and that he's the gatekeeper.
He's the Ziggler to me. Like, you feel like they're going to do something with him, but
this could be the one big win.
Yeah, this could be the one, or when Zack Ryder won at Mania.
Yeah.
You know, the title. I always get that feeling, and then they always disappoint me. They always disappoint me, so I'm not getting my hopes up this time.
Which, not that Rude is a bad...
No, it's just Rude is the obvious answer.
Yeah.
Like, I hate when they take the obvious answer, because there's less intrigue. Mm-hmm. You know, I always like it when they find a creative way for the guy that you didn't expect to win. Not all the time, obviously, but a time like this, like, you could make Ty Dillinger more important, or you could just stay the course with Rude, and I feel like they stay the course more often. So I'm picking Rude on that. I still think Authors of Pain are going to win, though. I don't know why. I just got a feeling.
Yep.
I got a feeling. Now, this is the match I'm excited about. Asuka versus Mickey James.
Yeah.
Because I was always a big Mickey James fan, and when they announced, I thought it was someone had doctored it. When they showed the picture on Facebook of Asuka versus Mickey James, I thought, this is fake. Someone photoshopped this. When I found out that Mickey James was actually coming back to wrestle Asuka, I was so happy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be a great match because they've never wrestled before. And I haven't seen Mickey James since, I think it was James Storm almost killed her in TNA.
Well, no one had seen her then. No one had seen her since then.
She's on milk cartons. You can still drink milk cartons.
But she was really
good.
Yeah.
Oh.
But she was, I mean, she was really good in TNA still.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
I'm not super hyped that they're kind of going with her just, you know, country singer, just who she actually is gimmick. I like it better than the just crazy
the
that
psycho.
She was.
Yeah.
Especially for a return. But this match is going to be great. I think Asuka doesn't have a chance of losing.
Mickey James has one of the only times I remember that they've ever edited anything off of the network.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say what it is.
She did a Trump.
Yes, she did.
I specifically told you not to make any preferences before the show.
We have to fire Asa now. Oh, no.
Liar.
Revival versus DIY.
In a 2 out of 3 falls match, which their 2 out of 3 falls match with American Alpha was amazing.
Yeah.
I love both of these teams.
But you got to give it to DIY, finally. Please.
I hope so.
Please.
I know you are. Dalton is convinced that Revival holds it.
I also feel like it because they've been building toward this will probably be when Ciampa turns.
I hope not. I want them to get just the longest tag team championship ever.
Because here's the thing. Whenever the American Alpha won it, I was like, all right, cool. They took the belts off the Revival. Revival can go to Raw or SmackDown. And then it was like, no. We're going to give it back to Revival, and now we're going to send American Alpha up. Be like, I just...
To give them a run.
And then they were like, all right, now they're versing DIY. And they've just been dangling that carrot in front of me. So that what makes me think is like, no, they're never going to get the belt.
Especially since DIY could just end up on 205.
Yeah, and also the whole fact of like they did the same thing with Enzo and Cass, where they were like they're gonna get the belt. They didn't beat Blake and Murphy.
How much have they sown the seeds of dissent between Ciampa
and Gargano?
They've
really slowed that down a lot,
which I think is a mistake. But I also think the reason they did that is for the surprise. Because remember how they did with the Shield, where they kept teasing Dean Ambrose was going to turn, then they backed away, but then Seth Rollins turned
out of nowhere.
Yeah,
but it's really hard to sell that now because like there's pictures of like I think they've shown pictures of like
them living together now,
and then Gargano like. Ciampa being a groomsman at Gargano's wedding, and they showed pictures of it.
Yeah, but
in a wrestling thing, you can do it, but it's one of those things now it's a little bit harder because.
Yeah, but in the basic fan's mind, basic fan, they would think that, okay, well, then the turn's even harder because here's these best friends, and now this happened. Oh, what a bastard.
The counter I would have to Dalton would just be Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
But I'm almost using that as a reason why I don't think they're going to do it is because they just came off of that big story.
Yeah.
So for them to almost mirror it.
Again, but don't give them too much
credit. It's
WWE,
so.
They're going to go for the cheap route.
I really hope DIY wins it, but again, if Revival holds on to it, then.
If DIY wins it, here's what's going to happen.
I don't think there's a better tag team on NXT right now than the Revival, and I love DIY and TM61.
All right, where are they wrestling at?
It's Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Do we know where? Does it have a roof?
Yeah.
Because if DIY wins, the roof's going to blow off. The fans want it so bad. Yeah. Every time you see Ciampa and Gargano wrestle, they are so into them winning that's why they keep teasing it. Because they know the moment they win, the place is going to explode, which is why they're not going to win. Because WWE really likes to deny the happy ending unless your name is Roman Reigns. Yeah. Then you get more happy endings than a... No. No. Shannon.
Than a Disney Channel movie.
I know a couple guys that got...
You missed a match.
I know. Okay. I don't even need to, I don't need notes for this
you
one.
You know who it is. It's William Regal versus Dave Taylor.
It's, Frack. Shit.
Whistle.
I have, there's 80 cats that live outside my apartment.
Too many cats.
I have 8 cats that live in my house.
Still a lot.
I have no cats, but I enjoy them.
Nodding. Yes. Nodding approvingly. Samoa Joe versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
And I love that you can't mess up his name, his last name, because it's phonetically correct.
Is this in a cage?
No.
No.
That was the last one, right? Yeah. Or whatever. All right. So this is just Shinsuke Nakamura versus Samoa Joe for the title rematch. Is this going to continue the trend of they've passed the torch and now is this Joe's last match and now he's going to go to main roster? Or do you think Joe's actually going to win this? Because I think Joe has a good chance of winning the title back.
He'd be the first 2-time champion.
He would be.
See, and because we've just got Revival as the first 2-time tag champion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could see Joe being the first 2-time NXT champion. And because this build has been amazing.
And I really feel like they have no intention of putting Joe on the main roster anytime soon.
I really don't either. But at the same time, like, if you give the title back to Joe, you can continue this Nakamura feud, which again has just been so good.
Yeah.
Even if you don't just go, even if they do a surprise and they put Nakamura on the main roster right away.
Which, please don't.
Just the follow up of the Joe Regal feud that's also going.
Yeah.
Is just right there on a silver platter. They have so many options. And this is why I wanted NXT to be after Survivor Series, because I think we were in a 100% agreement of everything that was going to happen at Survivor Series. Like, there's not really going to be any surprises.
Yeah.
Whereas NXT, we disagreed on almost every match for varying reasons. Yeah. And all of them made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not so blatant.
It's
not an obvious story.
It's almost like the show that Triple H is totally in control of.
So, once again, here we have another big weekend for wrestling where NXT is going to outshine the main show.
Yep.
It's just going to happen.
2 years running now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Every time. My
still favorite was from that WrestleMania 2 years ago where it was like, oh, good luck following that Bayley match, The Undertaker.
And the sad thing is, if you probably told The Undertaker about that Bayley match, he'd probably go, Bayley.
I don't know. I feel like he'd have been like, yeah, no, I'm mad at her. How's she going to do that to me?
Gotta take
Except
a wrestler's
slower court. And lower.
I'm not going to give her a hug.
Liar.
From the grave.
Well, no, why would you? She'll kill you. She's a cold-hearted animal, from what I understand.
All right, so in my defense of that, I'm assuming that all the other Raw people were you guys, and then I was Bayley. And then, like, no, they just convinced her to do it. They were just like, no, you're a people pleaser. You're going to come out and
do
this
with us.
Yeah,
she is a naive little girl is how they portray her. Mm-hmm. She's basically she's your best friend's 14-year-old sister who just happens to know how to wrestle. She has the side ponytail and she likes to hug and all that. So it makes sense for her to go out there and try to murder someone.
I think you just described me whenever I first started doing the podcast. Likes to hug, has the side ponytail.
You're my 14-year-old little sister?
Yeah.
You're Ace's little sister, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I try to give you back.
He didn't keep the receipt.
The pound blocked her phone number because I kept trying to get them to come take you.
The fingers you've used to dial are too fat. Anyway, all right, so that's it for us this week. Again, NXT is this weekend on Saturday. Survivor Series is Sunday. Make sure you go to Cape Championship Wrestling on Facebook. Or what was it?
CapeWrestling.com.
CapeWrestling.com.
Get those tickets for CCW Knockout. That's coming up. Next weekend.
Yeah.
It's a big 2 weeks for wrestling. That's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with our Pokemon Gym Spectacular. Pokemon is out on Friday, and this is Pokemon Month. So stay tuned for that. We're excited. And then we'll do it all again next week with Nerd Up on Sunday. And that is it for us. Have a good night, guys. Asa, take us out.
I'm sorry I got so mad.
Allie, do you forgive him?
Sure. Yay.